Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. The latest work of tonight's guest is a collection of poems that have been described as, quote, devout, intense, often heartbreaking, and ultimately uplifting, end quote. The Hatching of the Heart is the latest collection of poetry by Margot Swiss, who teaches English and creative writing at York University in Toronto, and has published academically on Milton and Donne, and has had her poems appear in magazines, anthologies, and two other collections. Margot's on the phone with us tonight from her office in Toronto to talk with us. But before we get to our interview, let's listen to Flying Low from the Honeycomb Tomb CD by Carla Adolph. Let's get our listeners to know a little bit more about you and know you a little better. When did you start writing?
I started writing, as most writers do, as a child, but I didn't get very far with that. Kids have lots of other things to do, as you know. So I really become engaged with writing poetry at about the age of 18. And I had a wonderful high school teacher, my grade 13 class. And we did, in class, we did the Romantics, we did Wordsworth and Keats, and of course those so appeal to a young reader. And then that teacher, Mrs. Marion Heidemann was her name, and she had in the second term what she called poetry seminars. And those were extracurricular activities, and we had those after class on Mondays, and each Monday we would a few of us would have a little seminar, and we'd look at writers that we couldn't look at in class, like the metaphysicals. We looked at John Donne's work, George Herbert, Henry Vaughan, a little bit of Eliot, lyric poems by Eliot. Just really interesting. And that process, really, that year, really gave me a new way of being happy, really. That's how I would describe it when I was engaging with those poems.
Well, what was it about poetry at that level? I mean, I recall being a teen, and I'm not sure if there's a gender element in here or not, but, you know, although I do love poetry, but poetry and English and literature and things like that weren't really attractive to high school students. What was it about this that really caught your imagination?
I think it was the personal mentorship that she gave us as readers, and so capable as she was very well schooled in poetry and loved it herself and conveyed that to us. And of course, we know how a teacher can do that. And also, we explicated the poems. We learned to sort of what we call now in the business peel poems, and we really looked at them and how remarkably they work together in their components. And that fascinated me. And in particular, it was the metaphor that really engaged me, and it still does. And so that really, why poetry, why is that my genre? It's because with poems, one can really work closely with a metaphor and, you know, really construct a body of work that is has real resonance and lots of connotative associations.
Well, how did all of this, the things you were learning in school, how did that all lead to you becoming published as a poet?
Well, when I got into university, I continued the writing. And as I say, from 18 on, I wrote as much as I had time to. And in university, of course, I was exposed to new writers and in a new environment. It was very exciting. I wrote in a different vein. I read more widely than the sort of 17th century, which continued to be my academic field, and I have real interest in that. But I read, you know, contemporary material and so on, and I started to style myself in a more contemporary voice than it had been. I think when kids first start writing, they write almost like a formal Victorian, you know, you're kind of stilted and that sort of thing, and you're writing from the models that you read, and then that time it was historical. So I was reading more contemporary writers, and I started writing my work in a slightly different voice and new way, and I sent them out as an undergraduate, and I managed to get them published in little journals that were around the area. I got in Quarry, which was, you know, a little magazine that came out of Queens. I think it still does. And Canadian Forum was going at that time, and Fiddlehead on the East Coast. So I was fortunate enough as an undergraduate by about my third and fourth year to be able to be publishing a few poems here and there. And that really encouraged me that, you know, editors were willing to take a few poems and publish them. So it really, you know, it took off. I also had a mentor in about my third year, and in my fourth year, who read my poetry very, very closely. He was a teacher I had, Michael Sidnall. He's retired now from U of T. And he worked with me very closely for at least a year on the poetry to, you know, work with it and improve it, and he was critical of it. And he was extremely helpful in that process. And so then I started publishing in journals, and there.
Took off from there. Well, you mentioned earlier that especially academically, you're still involved in some of the earlier poets, people like John Milton and John Donne. And you mentioned that your latest collection, Hatching of the Heart, has been influenced by George Herbert.
Yes.
What attracts you to a particular poet? What sort of grabs your attention with a poet or an author?
Well, I loved Herbert. As I say, starting with Mrs. Heideman years back, it was the metaphysicals that really interested me because of their use of metaphors and conceits. Just grabbed me. That's all I can say. But another thing that really interested me that connected with that period, and it has been applied in modern, it has modern application, is the concept of the Christian writers sense of his own or her own work as a kind of liturgy and a kind of offering, a work done for God and community, so which is the basic definition of liturgy. So certainly Herbert was a priest, and as was Donne, and then Milton as well took preparation to be a minister. He didn't take orders in the end, but these writers all saw their work as Christian writers as a kind of liturgy. And some of them, as I say, literally were priests, so you could see the connection. And that has been taken to the modern as well. I mean, some people, Auden has talked about that, and to some degree others too, in a more modern context. So that is certainly something that I see my work, as a kind of liturgy for God and community. So that model really served me. It interested me. I wrote about it. I did my thesis, actually, my dissertation on Milton and liturgy in the early Milton. And I've always been interested in that since then. So, you know, that's sort of the connection there.
Well, what I want to do is I want to explore a little bit more about that, especially how that seems to be coming through in Hatching of the Heart.
Okay.
But we need to take a quick break, and then we're going to continue our conversation with poet Margot Swiss. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Winter is glass, museum gray, keeping me away from you. All I ask here in this place, stay a minute or two. Courage and tears, here we can say all that we wanted to. Who can hold me? Who can hold me? Who can wrap their arms around me and keep me?
Arts Connection, you've been listening to Who Can Hold Me from Carla Adolph's Honeycomb Tomb CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Margot Swiss. Just before I went to break, you were talking about some of the poets that have influenced you, Donne, Milton, Herbert, and how their poetry sort of embodies liturgy. How did that, and you mentioned that the Hatching of the Heart has been influenced by Herbert's materials. How does all of that come through in The Hatching of the Heart?
Well, I think it's implicit, I think, in everything that's sort of in there. The epigraph for The Hatching is the epigraph from Marcus Borg's work, The Heart of Christianity. And that in that book, which is an excellent book I commend to people, he discusses the metaphor of the heart as, you know, really central, or the experience of the heart spiritually, as really central to the emerging Christianity that we are, I guess, which is upon us now. And I think that ties in very well with the liturgical sort of element of, you know, of the kind of work I do.
Well, looking at it, I you know, John Terpstra, who's a fellow poet, describes the book as a devout, intense, often heartbreaking, and ultimately uplifting. And there were some really personal moments that you touch on in there. Two poems that immediately come to my mind was on the first anniversary of my father's death.
Yes.
And then the other was on the death of my mother.
Yes.
What is it like for you as a poet to share something that is that intensely personal with, you know, people who are going to be reading it, you know, all across the country?
Well, it is an offering. Again, this is how the liturgical element comes in. It's a gift. I think I have a very direct sense when I write that God is directing what I'm doing, directing my heart, as it were, and sort of leading me and inspiring me, if I may say that old-fashioned word. So the poem called Budgie about my dad and then the one about my mom later, those were gifts, in a sense, that came out of of course, the loss of a parent is an acute loss, and came out of terrible loss, experienced in one case quite young and then later not so, but still a loss of the parent that is, it's part of oneself, as it were. So it was an intense experience, but you want to share that with an audience. I mean, it was something that, as the poet would say, needed to be said, and it was a way also of working through the grief to order it and articulate it and make some sort of logical sense as best one can of that. And so when one puts it in a book or publishes it, because Budgie was published quite early in Quarry, you're giving it to the audience. And there's, of course, many writers have said that the audience, the reader, completes the process when they receive the work. And so, again, I really do see my work as kind of liturgical and offertory. And people say that, have read, say, Budgie, it's been around for a little while, that it moves them and touches them. Often certain things I've written, and some of the examples in this text are things that people speak to me after and say that reminded me of the loss of my brother or the loss of someone's child or whatever. So people can identify with it. And if my sense is, and I teach creative writing, I say to the students, if we can't get what you're saying, if, you know, the poem has to be clear enough that an audience can receive it on that common sense level and not playing any games, let's just have the truth of the matter, as it were, then it allows the audience to receive it, and it edifies them, it touches them, it moves them. You know, I do believe that poetry is, like any other art form, is a form of revelation, can be, if it's properly done and received.
Well, looking at all that, and it's neat to hear sort of the emotional and spiritual elements that are behind the poets in that, but one of the things that always fascinates me is the actual work of crafting, of the artist's craft, whether that's writing or songwriting or, in this case, poetry. Mm-hmm. Kind of walk us through that whole process for you of how a poem comes together right from the point where you just get an idea, a glimmer of something that you're going to write about, to the point where it's crafted and laid down on paper and you're comfortable enough with the fact that you're gonna send it out and offer it to others, because I know that with most of us, as we're doing our art, we're never finished with it. We always want to go back and recraft it. But there does come a point where we just have to give it up. So walk us through that process.
Yes, I agree completely. Sometimes it's something, of course, it's kind of usual things. something one read or something. But often for me, it's something that's happened and some experience I've had that struck a chord, to use a metaphor, I guess, and it kind of goes around in my mind or my system, because I think the heart's very much involved. I'm very much of that thought. And it kind of goes around for a little while in the back of my mind, and it eventually comes to the fore, with often with a few words. Just something has to be written down. I want to catch it. So then the process will start, and then, you know, I always longhand things. I guess the younger ones go to the monitor. I don't do that early on. And I write down, you know, I write it through. I let it come out as it will. And I work with quite a number of drafts initially. I could maybe do 2, 3, 4 drafts. And then after a certain point, I tend to leave it. There's also, I think, a fatigue that sets in. You feel, you know, this is the first step, and this is it. It's kind of naturally ending. The other thing that I always say to the students, if I feel I've got the head and the tail of it, I feel I've got it there. And so I just, I leave it for a little while and then come back to it perhaps in a day or two. I let some time go by. You know, it's often of necessity. Things come up. And then I go back to it not too long from then and work with it again and a few more drafts, maybe 1 or 2 more, maybe 3, not maybe more than 3, and then leave it again and then go back to it again at an interval. And so that's how I work it through. If I get it to a point that I'm reasonably sure it's ready to go on the monitor, I will then sit down and do that, because I think that is not something I want to do too soon. And then I, you know, I put it on the into type and look at it and, you know, start doing the things that you do there, shuffling things around a little. And print it out the first time I do that, and then leave it, then come back and read it aloud. I do a lot of reading aloud. It's got to be the right words in the right order. And then read it aloud and come back to it. Do that maybe several times. And then I tend to leave things a little bit to let them cool off. Or one of my students said, let them sleep. Just to make sure I want it to be, I want to break the attachment that one has to the work in process, because we might think, oh, this is great, this is different, I better get this out or something. I don't do that, I never do that. So I'm very conservative, I suppose, in this process. And in the end, then, it's... I think it's pretty well ready, but I still let time go by before I would send it out.
Yeah.
Just to be sure, because then there might be a last little bit of dickering I might do with something.
Right. I can understand that whole aspect of being attached to your work, because there are times I've felt the same way about some of the things I've written in that. Well, we need to take one final break, and then we'll wrap up our conversation with poet Margot Swiss. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Are cold, fear's a friend. if I lay down beneath the earth. You are my mama wing, I am your baby bird. You are my mama wing, I am your baby bird.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Mama Wing from the Honeycomb Tomb CD by Carla Adolph. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with poet Margot Swiss. Margot, just as we've got about a minute or so here, what's been the reaction to Hatching of the Heart at this point?
Well, it hasn't been circulating too long, but a few of my friends have looked at it, and some of them, I think, are very astute readers, and they've liked it. So I think that's all right. That's good. I'm having a launch tonight at St. Thomas's Church, and... we'll see more of what people think, but it hasn't really been circulating very widely at this point. But anyone who has read it has thought that it, you know, is happy with it, has lots of variety. Some of the poems spoke to them. One of my friends at church said that she doesn't read poetry very often, but she had ordered the book, and she said, "I really like the fact that you communicate what you mean." She said, "I think I understand these poems." So. I think that's a first step.
Yeah. How can people find out more about you and about your poetry?
Okay. The poems, The Hatching of the Heart, is on Amazon, and I have a profile down there. And also, my husband and I have a poetry series that comes out of St. Thomas's, and we have a website. It's www.stthomassespoetryseries.com. And we've been doing publications since 1996. We got about 30 publications. And we have pictures on the website and information about this book, and we do launches of other books as well, other than the ones we publish.
Great. Well, Margot, thank you very much for your time tonight. Thank you for listening to Arts Connection tonight, and thank you to my guest, Margot Swiss. If you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at www.selawministries.ca. That's www.selawministries.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for a look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, a production of Selaw Ministries, email robert@selawministries.ca. Follow us on Twitter @selaw13. Look for Arts Connection page on Facebook, or check the Arts Connection blog at rdaleleslie.wordpress.com. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.